We'll dive into Scripture. James chapter 1, verse 2 is everyone's favorite two verses. We'll start there. Gets better. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So a quick recap, set this thing up. We've been in the series for a few weeks now, so I suspect you've got the gist. And that is that promises essentially have three clauses. An if, and then a then, and then all the ones that we tag on to the end, all the buts. And the fun thing about this promise that we're going to look at today, it is, James liked to be different, didn't he? Is that this time there actually is a but. Well, we'll start by looking at the context. Let's put this verse into context. In James 1, he dives straight headlong, right slap bang into the middle of your tests and your trials. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I don't think this is going to come as a shock revelation. I'm not sure I'm going to burst any bubbles when I tell you that you are going to have tests and trials of many kinds. Verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I like this. It kind of ties in a little bit with where we were last week with Romans 8:28, the idea that God is ever working good. We might perhaps need to slightly reevaluate how we consider this concept of good. But right here, you may well be in the slap bang in the middle of your trial. You may be facing a tough challenge. You may be unsure of what to do. But the good news is that God is at work. And one of the ways that he is at work, as we read here, it is strengthening your faith and developing perseverance and helping us to grow and mature. And therefore, James says, in the middle of that test and trial, he says, consider it pure joy. Not just plain old ordinary joy, pure joy. The Greek word literally means all. Consider it all joy. So where's the promise here? Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So in that trial, when it's tough, when you're struggling for answers, God says you can ask him for wisdom. And the promise is that he will supply it generously. This, folks, is very good news. I can tell by your faces. Is there anyone in here who could ever use a little bit of divine wisdom? If your answer is no, may I humbly suggest you revisit the question. If the answer is yes, then join the club. And if you have never considered the idea that God could possibly give wisdom directly to you, this message and this promise actually could change your life. Remember, there's a kind of underlying premise to this series, which is what a tragedy it is to live beneath the promises of God. Why flounder when you could flourish? He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who provides all you could possibly need. He will never leave you short. He will never leave you stranded or sinking. There are far too many great big promises for that. Okay, so diving in now into this promise. We've been working our way through the ifs, the thens, and the buts. So the if here, what are the conditions in this promise as it is written? Well, I'll read it again. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And this sentence, rather helpfully, actually includes the word if. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. So it would seem to me that there are two qualifications here. Number one, any of you. And number two, lacks wisdom. As usual, I'm pretty confident that that includes every single one of us. I see no way that anyone in this room is ruled out. You see, it doesn't say that God gives wisdom generously to those who have deep biblical knowledge. It doesn't say God gives wisdom generously, but if you're in the middle of a trial, that probably means you messed up, so God's not listening. In fact, it says he will give generously to all without finding fault, literally without reproach. You know, God is wise and happy to share. No judgment. He knows you need it. In fact, he's rather keen to walk with you and for you to seek after him. You know, leaning on God is a really good thing. And there is no better time than when you're struggling. In all probability, tests and trials are the very things that are designed to build and strengthen relationship with God. Again, the good news is this makes this promise accessible to everyone in the room. Not just the mature, not just Greek and Hebrew scholars, not just the people who pray for 2 hours a day. Anyone who lacks wisdom can ask. And I don't wish to be rude, but you qualify. The ducks. No one threw anything at me. Okay, that's the if. Then, what does this promise really offer us? I read it in the Amplified. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. So the good news is we have an invitation to tap into the infinite and brilliant and perfect wisdom of God just when we need it the most. Familiar verse, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Proverbs 2 says this, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know, there is a freely available river of divine wisdom just a prayer away. But back into the context of our tests and trials, here's the danger, I think. The danger is that we tend to respond by force of habit. You know, that's how I've always done it. Or we respond to appease our strong emotions. What can I do to minimize or avoid pain? Or fear takes over and starts to dictate terms. I remember when I was very young, about 13 probably, I was in a discipleship training class with a man called Bob Hodge, who was quite fiery. And he asked a question, and we were talking about faith, and he said, what do you do first when the phone rings? And of course, the correct answer was pray. But I was a cocky 13-year-old, so my response, I stuck my hand up and said, panic! And I remember he looked at me sternly in the eye and said, panic is of the intellect. And that's always struck with me. But anyway, if that's the danger, the opportunity is God's invitation to ask for his wisdom. What is wisdom? A few definitions here kind of paints the overall picture. Wisdom is the ability to see through God's eyes, to see what God sees, to see more and to see better and to see clearer. Wisdom is the ability to see through the eye of faith rather than merely your natural eyes. Wisdom is the ability to apply the general truth of God's word in any specific situation. Wisdom is the ability to discern with spiritual insight rather than judge in fleshly haste. Wisdom is the ability to identify what the enemy is up to and contrast that with what God is up to. Good definitions. Wisdom is the ability to filter out the ungodly, impure, and unholy and instead choose godly, pure, and holy. Philippians 4 verse 8, the noble and the good and the just and the right. And then finally, wisdom is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the great revealer and teacher. And if that is what wisdom is, and if the promise is that God will freely and liberally supply that wisdom when we ask, the next question, logically, I think, is how is God then going to deliver that wisdom? And the answer is, could be through a multitude of different means. I'm going to run through a few. First of all, he might just drop it in your spirit. Secondly, he might whisper it into your thoughts, what we call the still small voice. There might be a strong sense or stirring in what we call the inward witness. That kind of nudge or prompt, that check, that sense of a yes or a no. He might, in fact, this is probably the primary way, he might deliver it in and through his word, which of course is his ultimate and perfect revelation. He might use someone else to give wise counsel. There are various different kind of more spectacular means like visions and dreams and words of prophecy and knowledge and wisdom. You never know. It might even be delivered from the pulpit. Another way is to pray in tongues and kind of stir up your innermost being. You might even find yourself starting to prophesy over yourself. Living Bible says this: if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. And he will gladly tell you, for he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him, and he will not resent it. If, then, but. And James very kindly provides, as I said, the but for us. But, verse 6, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Get the picture? That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, I want you to note right from the get-go, this but is not a disqualification clause. There's nothing in there that means it applies to everyone except for you. But there is a potential roadblock. There is a reason that you might struggle to access that wisdom or to understand or benefit from that wisdom. And here it is. James wrote, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. And he explains here that it is possible to be tossed about It is possible to be double-minded, to be unstable, for fear and anxiety and confusion to take over in the middle of that trial. Note this, it doesn't say, or rather James doesn't say you can't ask. It doesn't say that God won't give. It just says in verse 7 that you should not expect to receive. You see, unbelief and double-mindedness, fleshliness, overthinking and overfeeling stop you from receiving the wisdom of God. God may well speak, but you will have stopped listening. Or you'll refuse to believe it. Think about the parable of the sower, that maybe the enemy will come in and peck up the seed sown on the path. Or the weeds and thorns will suffocate it. Remember Mark 4 verse 19, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, choke the wisdom, making it unfruitful. And see, if any of that happens, the very trials that are designed to lead you into the wisdom of God will instead keep you from it. And James said, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. The Greek word double-minded means wavering and uncertain and divided. The word unstable means unsettled, unsteady, inconstant, restless. What does it say? That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? It's not because God isn't speaking. It's that we stop listening. And louder voices start shouting and distracting and overruling anything that God might have to say, to the point that we can no longer receive. And this is why this series is so important. Let me just read some words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, very familiar, Matthew 7, verse 24, said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You know this one? "And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You know, through this series, each of our great big promises is rock to stand on. But if you accidentally or inadvertently climb off that rock and into the sand, then, as Jesus warned, when the rain lashes and the storm crashes, the house will come tumbling down. Does not mean that the promise wasn't true, or that God has suddenly become unfaithful or incapable or doesn't love you. It just means that for whatever reason, you've been tricked by the butt and you've stepped off the rock of God's promises and onto the sand. Folks, this is massive. You access the promises by faith. You step into them. You stand on them. You make them reality by faith. And you jeopardize them. You hinder them. You walk away from them by unbelief. Unbelief takes your eyes off the promise. Unbelief convinces you to walk away. Unbelief stops you from receiving what God has freely given. A really strong little prophetic verse, Hosea 4 verse 6, which says, "My people are destroyed through lack of knowledge." if you don't know what the promises are, they can't help you. If you've convinced yourselves that they don't apply, or that they don't work, or they're not for you, they can't help you. Ignorance of the promises of God will literally destroy your life. That's really important that I say this right now. The heart behind this message, in fact, this whole series, is not judgmental, it's pastoral. You know, I see people struggling with their faith and essentially being tossed about by life, by the wind and the waves, by the tests and the trials. It's almost as though the enemy is tossing them around like a rag doll. And I have no desire to add to any sense of guilt or failure or inadequacy. But you know, as your pastor, I long to see you walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Life is tough. Tests are inevitable. The wind is blowing. But God, in the middle of whatever rubbish life is throwing at you, you have the promises of God. And so the series aim is to feed your faith until it fires. It's to put some more bricks in the wall of your faith until it becomes strong and resilient. The aim is to pump you with promised power until your feet are firmly planted back on that rock. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. It may be hard, but I know that God is working all things together for my good. And if I'm lacking wisdom, I know I can go straight to God and ask. Good news, still 2 weeks to go, still two more great big promises to come. You know, this is what it should look like. Romans 4 verse 20, this is Abraham, okay? It says this, yet he, that's Abraham, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. So good, I'm going to read it again. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And if we go back into that scenario, back there in deep and dark in the Old Testament, in the natural, absolutely everything was telling Abraham no. But God had said yes. And he had some ups and downs. There was an Ishmael before he had his Isaac. But in the end, through those struggles, it says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. And because he knew the promise, and he knew the promiser, eventually he reached the point where he was, verse 21, fully persuaded that God had the power and the strength and the ability and the capacity to do exactly what he had promised. Okay, if, then, but, and then my final question each week is, so what? And now what? Time to get practical. Just three quick thoughts to tie all of this together and perhaps apply it maybe to where you are right now. So my three thoughts. Number one, you ready? It's on the screen already, isn't it? I know. Number one, wisdom is for trials. Don't struggle and sweat and huff and puff and cry your way through those trials. Seek the wisdom of God. You have this wonderful promise. And if that's not good enough, we can add to it Hebrews 4:16, which says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most, which is probably in that trial or test. This great big promise is available to you. You qualify. That promise is solid rock. It's yes and amen. God will always answer and fulfill that promise one way or another. Don't flounder when you could be flourishing in the wisdom of God. So number one, wisdom is for trials. Number two, feed your faith. Surprise, surprise. Who's going to win? Is it going to be faith or fear? Is it going to be truth or lies? Is it going to be the word or the world? Is it going to be the one who saves and redeems, or the accuser and the liar? And as we've seen this in this course, one of our work-ons remains renewing the mind, seeing what God sees, thinking how God thinks. But another is to feed your faith. Because if you don't, when you come to that trial, you will be the one tossed to and fro. And you'll miss the wisdom of God. Here it is, Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Have your sword sharp and ready. Get into the word so the word can get into you. Strengthen your faith with his promises daily. And listen to this series on repeat. Number two, feed your faith, feed your faith. And then number three, what if, in spite of this promise, wisdom still seems to be elusive? Well, I tell you what, I recommend you seek some counsel. Find someone with a bit of wisdom, a bit of biblical expertise, if you like, some experience, some prophetic insight. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a few wise people in your corner, in your camp, on speed dial? Did you know that there are numerous agencies and charities, Christian, governmental, and others, that are available to help you? And I have a great list of those if you need nudging in the right direction. Proverbs 11:14, again familiar, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Amplified says, where there is no wise, intelligent guidance, the people fall and go off course like a ship without a helm. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is victory, literally salvation and deliverance. So phone a friend. There are plenty of people around here who would be delighted to help. And you never know. You might even find somebody wise. Okay, so that's we're done. We have been praying a declaration prayer all the way through the series. I've written one for today. So we're going to pray that right now, and then we'll take the service into response and ministry, and then we'll be done. We've got lots of time this morning. I was relatively quick. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's stand, and hopefully slide numero next one will come up. This is our prayer of declaration. Are you ready? We'll read it together. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge today that you are infinitely, insightfully, and brilliantly wise. We confess that too often we rely on our own limited wisdom, leaning on our own understanding, and even the ways of this world. Your word invites us to ask you for wisdom. And so we come to you, Holy Spirit, asking you to lead and guide us in every aspect of our lives. Help us to discern your ways, your heart, your will. Help us to find clarity and direction as we navigate the tests and trials of this life. Help us to see below the surface, to discern what you are saying and doing. Father, teach us to fear you, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. May we grow in reverence and awe, humbly submitting our lives to your leading and surrendering our wills to yours. Lord, may your word feed and strengthen our faith so that our feet remain firmly planted on the rock of your promises, and so we learn to trust you at all times and in all things. Thank you, Lord, for the precious gift of wisdom that you freely give to those who seek you. In all things, may your wisdom be our guiding light, illuminating our paths and drawing us ever closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please take a seat. If the worship team wouldn't mind coming back into their places, that would be great. So as we respond this morning, two questions that I'd encourage you to take to the Lord. Question number one is, are you in the middle of a trial right now? I suspect if you are, you're not the exception. Are you in the middle of a trial right now? And if so, as we respond, I mean, we're here in his presence, right? There's anointing available for breakthrough, because I know that God confirms his word with signs and wonders following. So as we respond, just take a little time, breathe in a little bit of space, and ask God to give you wisdom. To whisper into your thoughts, to drop it into your spirit, to shine that light on your path. I don't know what you're facing, big, small, tomorrow, the next day. Ask God for wisdom. What a wonderful invitation. And why would we do it any other way? Why would we flounder when we could flourish in the wisdom of God? So we're going to give you, we've got 20 minutes. Wow, 20 minutes to go. Give you the opportunity just to soak in his presence and to ask God for wisdom. That's number one. And the response option number two is, would you describe your faith right now as strong or weak, wobbly? If you're really honest, you're laying bricks down right now. Are you laying them on the rock, or are you building that house on the sand? I'd say this morning, just be honest and authentic before the Lord. And if your faith is straight, fantastic. Sing these great big God songs and praise him. If your faith is feeling a little bit wobbly right now, we get that. What a great opportunity as we spend time in his presence just to ask the Lord for help. Maybe ask him this question, Lord, what do I need to do right now to feed and to strengthen that faith? Ask God that question. I mean, it ties in perfectly with our promise. Ask him for wisdom and he will give it to you generously.